stand and sing our theme song, Continue.
But continue in the things which thou hast learned, and being assured of, and being assured of. Continue in the things which thou hast learned, and knowing in whom thou hast learned. Continue in faith and charity, continue in faith in whom saved thee. But continue in the things which thou hast learned, and being assured of, and being assured of. Continue to serve, continue to grow, continue in Christ, and let others know. But continue in the things which I have learned, and be assured of, we will continue.
Amen. But do pray for him, and let's be in prayer for the choirs. They'll be singing here in just a moment. We'll be singing some more too. So we'll go ahead and open up in prayer tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the rain that you've sent our way. Lord, we do pray for our pastor. I pray that you touch and heal him, Lord. And Lord, you know what's right in all things. And Lord, you allowed the sickness to come. And Lord, we're sure that you're able to take care of the sickness just as well. Lord, we pray for each soul that's here tonight. Lord, for be one here lost, that they'd be saved. Draw your children closer to you. Pray for each one, Lord, takes part in the singing part of the service. I pray that you just touch their hearts and touch their voice, Lord. And then, Lord, everything that's done tonight, Lord, may we look to get glory out of you, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Been talking about the storms that's all around us. Every which way, there's been storms in our lives that we really need the Lord to help us out. We're going to sing about the one, and Jesus is the shelter in the time of storm.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever he'll be tied, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no fears of fight, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen.
Rock divine, the refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
may be seated and pray for the choir as they sing tonight. Time to sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There is salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Great in my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Great in my Savior all the day long.
Turn around and shake hands with your neighbor this evening. Thank you. As we go back to our seat, we'll pick up on the second verse.
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praise in my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise in my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praise Him, my Savior, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise Him, my Savior, all the day long.
Let's go back and sing that last verse. I love that because of the blessed assurance that the Lord gives us. And when we read His Word, He gives us that assurance that we can live day by day. On the last verse.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Sing out on
peace of my story. This is my song. Praise Him, my Savior, all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praise Him, my Savior, all the day long.
Amen. Good singing tonight.
All right, appreciate all that good singing, congregation in the choir. Just singing out and trying to praise the Lord through song. It's time to come now to take up offering. Give you an opportunity to praise the Lord in that way. And we should always try to give what the Lord lays on our hearts. So we're going to do that tonight. And ask Brother Taylor if he will pray over the offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come back into your house once again tonight, Lord. As mentioned, we do pray for our pastor, Lord, as he's sick. I pray, Lord, you would just touch him, help him to feel better, Lord. Just, Lord, help him to get back into church, Lord. And we know that, Lord, he would be here if he could. And we just pray for him and his family. And, Lord, we do pray for Brother Jimmy, Lord, as he brings a message tonight, Lord, which you've laid on his heart, God. I pray, Lord, you just give him confidence, Lord, just to stand behind your sacred desk tonight, Lord, and preach what you've laid on his heart tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would just touch him, hide him behind the cross, Lord. Just anything that would try to hinder the services tonight, Lord, yes. You would cast it out, Lord. Yes. Lord, that you would get honor and glory out of everything that's done tonight, God. Yes. And, Lord, that we could just, we thank you for this offering time, God, that we can just give back a portion of what you've blessed us with, God. Yes. As the pastor mentioned this morning, Lord, we're blessed people. And, Lord, just help us never take for granted of that, God. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, if there is one here that's lost tonight, Lord, that's without Christ as their Savior, tonight would be that day of salvation for them, Lord. They wouldn't wait until tomorrow. Lord, we know we're not promised tomorrow. So, Lord, we pray that you'd open their eyes to Christ tonight, Lord. We want to give you the praise, honor, and glory. Pray that you'd be at this special singing tonight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. pierced hands, and He lifted you out. So remember where you were back then, and praise Him for where you are now. Give Him the glory for what He's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and He made you complete. So take off those crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. Do you remember when, with all your heart, you longed to serve Him, but you didn't think that Jesus could use someone like you? But look how He's used your life, and He'll re-brought you out. So remember where you were back then, and praise Him for where you are now. Give Him the glory for what He's done in your took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and He made you complete. So take off those crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. Take off those crowns of glory and cast Him at the Savior's feet. Give Him the glory.
Appreciate that singing. And you know, if that'll be our desire to give God the glory every day of our lives in everything that we do, He will allow us to do that. And we say sometimes, well, how can we glorify God in doing this? And how can we glorify God in doing that? Well, if we do it, if we do the best we can, and we're doing what God tells us to do, and we're not doing what God tells us not to do, then we can bring glory to His name. Back to old style here, preaching off my paper notes. I don't have this message on my laptop or my Surface. We're going to be preaching a message tonight, "The Satan Desires You." And you know that's a scary thought. Satan desires you. But that's what Jesus told Peter. And was reading over in the different Gospels about the time that Jesus told Peter that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And how that He said it to Peter. But you know, if He only had desired Peter, I don't know if He'd be in the Word of God or not. Because He desires us as well. He desires to sift us as well. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that, Lord, instructs us into the Word of God, and it discerns the Word of God for us that we may learn, Lord, what you would have us to. And Lord, I pray that this Scripture tonight would, Lord, that we would search our lives, Lord, that we would ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us something tonight, Lord, that would draw us closer to you. Then, Lord, if there wouldn't be here lost tonight, Lord, I pray they'd be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This Scripture, Jesus said these words right before he was taken and judged and put on trial and crucified. And in the other two of the other Gospels, he tells before the fact that he talks to Peter, he's telling all of them, he said, you're going to run. He said, they're going to kill me. They're going to put me on the cross, and they're going to crucify me, and you are going to disperse. You're going to run away. And Peter tells him, he said, you know, not me. Not me, Lord. You know, the rest of them might go, but I will stay. And then Jesus tells Peter this. And I was reading and just how he said it. He's already talking to them. They're all there. They're listening. They're hanging on every word that he says. But then he says, Simon, Simon, behold, he's getting Simon's attention. He's making sure, he's telling Simon point blank, I want you to understand something. I know you don't think you will, and I know you don't think it'll happen, but he says, Satan hath desired to have you. And it doesn't say it in these words, but actually what he's telling him is, Satan has desired to have you, and I am going to let him do it. It says, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, when he's sifting Peter, and when we sift wheat, we're trying to get the good and let the bad go. He's trying to find that spot in Peter. He's trying to find that part of Peter that he can take and turn Peter away from Christ. But what he wants to do is completely wreck Peter's life. He's wanting to completely get him out of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He wants it just completely, that he doesn't even want Peter to think about Christ anymore. But I like what Jesus says next. But I have prayed for thee. Peter, Satan wants you, and I'm going to let him have you, but I'm praying for you. I know exactly what's going on, and I'm still in control. Said, I pray that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, Peter, you're going to go through something. The rest of them's not going to go through it, but you're going to go through it, and afterwards, you're going to be able to strengthen your brothers in Christ. And that's what we should do. Every problem that we go through, everything that God allows us to go through, we should trust Him knowing that He is still in control, and to be able to come through that, go through that fire, go through that persecution, and learn from that, and then help others in Christ. But even though Jesus so boldly put it to Peter, he still again says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He just cannot comprehend what is about to happen to him, because Christ is about to turn Satan loose on him. He's held Satan back. If Satan had his way, he'd kill us all right now. But God has his hand upon us. But when he does allow Satan, when he does allow Satan's demons to work in our lives, he still is in control. And Peter says, no, if they kill you, I'm going to die with you. But Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, I feel like, I believe it, Peter still, he's not quite swallowing this. Because at that moment, he's ready to die. We even know that when they come and get Jesus, Peter draws his sword. He's ready to die. But God, Jesus tells him to put it back up. But when the time comes and they come and get Jesus and they're about to put him on trial, and I don't know the exact situation, how it is, they're in the judgment hall and Peter is over in a little different area warming by the fire. But the cock crows the third time, and the Bible says that Jesus looked down on Peter. And Peter remembered and went out and wept bitterly. Jesus was still in control. He knew exactly what was going on. And he looked at Peter so that Peter remembered what Jesus had said. And we're going to go through things like this in our lives. We may not be completely, Satan may not be completely turned loose on us like he did with Peter. But we are going to go through temptations and trials in our life. Satan desires us. He desires to tear our Christian testimony down, to tear our lives down for Christ, that we will no longer be any good to Christ. Number one, there is a devil. We know that as Christians. If you're saved, you know that there is a devil. But we go through most of our days and most of our time and not even think about him. But he is alive and well and working in this world today. He has always been working since God cast him out of heaven, and since he made Adam and Eve, Satan has been after man. He tempted the perfect couple in the perfect environment. He tempted Eve, and Eve gave in to sin. Adam gave in to sin. He tempted a perfect and upright man. Job, the Bible says, was a perfect and upright man. He was not only the wealthiest man in the land, but he was the godliest man in the land. And Satan said, if you'll just let me a hold of him, he won't love you anymore. He won't do right anymore. He'll turn away from you. And God did that. He allowed Satan to sift Job as well. And he took everything that he had away from him. And then he even allowed him to come back and give him boils all over his body. And he allowed him to go through that. But once Job did question God and come back and ask God to forgive him, he gave him back everything that he had. He doubled everything that he had. And not only did he tempt Adam and Eve, not only did he tempt Job, he tempted Jesus Christ himself. Satan is not bashful. We needn't think that we have reached a certain level in our Christian walk that he's not going to tempt us. That we know all his edges, we know all his guiles, and we know everything about him, and he's just going to give up on us. He can't touch us. When you do that, that's when you're about to fall. He tempted a perfect man and woman. He tempted Job, who the Bible said was perfect, and he did tempt the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. He does desire us. Satan wants every soul. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He would attack all of us tonight if God would allow it to happen. But he's out there. And where we mess up is we give him an angle to come in at. We fall to our own lust. And then when we fall that, we are weak and we don't have the hand of God upon us because we have walked out from under his shelter, and then Satan will pounce upon us. It says to be sober. That is to be characterized by reason and self-control. And if we're a Christian, we should be characterized by reasoning and be spirit controlled in everything that we do as we go through life. When people offend us, when people come against us, when bad things happen to us, when sickness happens, we should be under the control of the Holy Spirit, realizing that God knows exactly what's going on. It says, vigilant, staying watchful and alert to danger. No matter how good things are going, and how much you've been praying, and how much you've been reading the Word of God, and how much you've been coming to church, or how bad things are going, and you're doing the best you can, but bad things are happening. Finances ain't what they want them to be. Our health is not what we want them to be. Our friends are not what we want them to be. Our family is not what we want them to be. Be vigilant. It don't matter which direction things are going, good or bad, we need to be vigilant because Satan desires us all. But what does Satan want us to do? He's looking for that time, as I said, when we give him an opening. When there's something that we know we're supposed to be doing and we don't do it, something we know we're not supposed to do and we do, he wants us to quit praying. He wants us to neglect the Bible. He wants us to put off serving Christ. What we know we need to do for him, what God has said, this is what I want you to do. And we put it off and we put it off and we put it off. To lower our standards just a little bit. Now, you know, Satan does not come in to a well-founded Christian and say, I want you to go out and get drunk and commit adultery on your wife tonight. No, he wants you to stay home from church tonight. He comes in just a little bit at a time. I want you to stay home from church tonight. And you know what? That movie's really okay. I know it's got that bad scene everybody's talking about, but it ain't really that bad. And that's the way Satan comes in when we allow a little crevice for him to come into in our life. And then, when you do something wrong, he wants you to criticize the church because there's somebody else that you know don't do that, and they're just Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. Because he won't do that. She won't do that. So then you start criticizing the church. And so, the next step is you start drifting away from church. You allow a little bit of sin in your life, and then you feel bad about it, but instead of correcting yourself, instead of asking God to forgive you, you criticize somebody else, and then you've built that wall up between you and the church, between you and other church members, and you begin to stay out of church. And then you have allowed Satan free reign on you. So how does Satan get us to do this? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, and that's what we've been talking about, he's getting an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, we have the Word of God that we can read. We read about Peter here and seeing what he went through, and we see what other Christians went through, what other people in the Old Testament went through, and we have these examples to go by, but we don't go by. The Bible says, for we are not ignorant. Now, ignorant doesn't mean dumb. It doesn't mean you can't learn. It means that you haven't learned. So, the Bible says, we have the Word of God. We can learn. We can know. So we need to know. So what are his devices? Well, he likes to blind the minds of the people. In the world today, there's so many isms and schisms. Atheism. When I was young, I knew what atheism was. I knew what an atheist was, but I never saw one. You can find one today. It ain't no trouble at all. They'll tell you. They're not a bit afraid to say it. If they were one before, they wouldn't tell you. Even the drunk in the ditch was not an atheist. An evolution. They had just began to teach evolution before I went into school. And I'm so glad that when I was in, I believe the ninth grade is when they taught physical science when I was in school. And I remember our teacher was a preacher's wife, and she says, I have to teach you evolution. And she taught in about 5 minutes. I don't know how she did it, but she used to go around, she'd take her hand, and she could take this finger and make it look like a dinosaur swinging his head back and forth. And she said, that's what they say. That's what they call evolution. Now let's get on to real science. You probably couldn't get away with that today. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't have to be taught that. But that's what they teach, that we are simply animals. And there's a lot of things in the world today that are elevating animals to man, bringing man down, bringing animals up to them. And then humanism. That's just saying that man can take care of any problem that man has. Man is his own God. He can take care of anything. They can be even believing humanism and say they are a little higher than animal, but they're really just an animal because they take care of all their problems. So what is our defense? It is the truth. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So how do we defend against the things of the devil when Satan would like to bind us up in evolution and humanism and atheism and all the things that are coming to it? It's the truth of the word. And when we're saved, we know we have the word, and that is our defense against that. He likes to get people hooked on things in this world. He likes to get people so used to things and having things in this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He used that to tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden. He used the same thing to tempt Jesus when he was in the wilderness. And he uses the same thing to tempt us today. He uses the lust of the flesh, immorality, things that today are accepted as everyday, even in Baptist churches at one time were considered immoral. And they should be considered immoral. Because when you start going a little bit that way, and Satan grabs hold of you, and he's got you where he wants you. And then the lust of the eyes, materialism. You know, I think about today, I have so much more than my parents had at my age or any age. And I think about when I was a little boy, the things that were in our house. If you had a color TV when I was a little boy, you had it, buddy. You had everything if you had a color TV. I mean, there was a color TV. I bet that as a little boy, other than my clothes, I didn't own a dozen things. But I had everything. I wasn't missing nothing. I didn't know I was missing anything. But now you got to have this and you got to have that and you got to have everything. You just want more and more and more. Not that there's anything wrong with anything that you have or anything that I have or anything that somebody else has. But our mind is stuck on getting more instead of getting more of God. Our defense is the Word of God again. The Word of God. If we keep our mind on the Word of God and we read the Word of God, study the Word of God, then we don't spend so much time on the world. And the love of God. Realizing that God loves us and He wants us to love each other and He wants us to love the lost. So it's through the Word of God that if we keep doing what God wants us to do, because when we get our minds on the world and on things of the world, we don't have time to do what God wants us to do. Then he uses persecution, peer pressure. I was thinking about when our children were in school and our kids went to Christian school. There's just as much peer pressure in Christian school as there is in public school. There's different levels. There's good kids that's trying to do the right thing. There's bad kids that parents have put in there because they couldn't keep them out of trouble in public school. They think the school's going to take care of them, and then you got them all in between there. And peer pressure. But we have the same thing. If you work a public job, you have peer pressure at work. You went to church when? You went to church every night this week? What was it, some kind of cult or something? Can't you just go on Sunday morning and spend about an hour there? But you have that co-workers, neighbors. You know, neighbors today, not like it used to be. I heard somebody talking the other day about they used to have neighbors, but now they hardly even know any of their neighbors. And when I was young, it was that way. You knew everybody that lived around you, four, five, six. Our little dirt road we lived on was about 2 miles long, and we knew everybody on the road. I live on a road coming in where my house is now. It's 2/10 of a mile, and I don't know but two of the people. I mean, they're in their house, and we're in our house, and we're gone, they're gone. And you might speak to them, but I don't really know them. And family. That's where you get your strongest criticism from. I know that's where in the past, not now, but I used to get strong criticism from family. You don't have to go to church every time the doors are open. You know why they said that? Because they didn't go to church at all. You see, if they could get me not to go as much, they didn't feel quite as bad. They weren't convicted quite as bad because they were saved, but they were out of church. So they didn't feel quite as bad. So you get that persecution from your family. So what is our defense against these things? What is our defense against persecution, against the materialism of the world? And that's encouraging one another. We need to realize that we are God's family. And when one of us hurts, as preacher was preaching the other day, we're a body. Some are fingers, some are feet, he's the head. But when one of us hurts, we know it. When you hurt that little finger, boy, it don't do much, but you try to stick it in your pocket when you hurt it. And you know it's there then. But we need to encourage one another. We need to have a proper attitude. We're going through in Sunday school, rejoicing always. Always rejoice. That's what the Bible tells us to do. But you know, it's hard to do when the doctor says you have cancer. Brother Art Williams has got cancer again. This is the third or fourth time that they found cancer. They get it cleared up and it comes back. They get it cleared up and it comes back. And he's going to have to go through, I'm not exactly sure the kind of treatment he's going to go through, but he's got to go through it again. And they're very discouraged, and that's understandable. But you know what? They're still praising the Lord and still trusting in God to take care of them. And if we would realize that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold, realizing that how we come through that trial is influencing so many people. God may allow Satan to tempt us, Satan to put us through a trial, but he is there with us and he'll be there when we go through the trial. And whatever the outcome is, he is there with us. And people are watching us. There's other Christians watching us. There's lost people watching us. There's family watching us when we go through trials. But we need to understand, if God allowed all these people in the Word of God to go through trials, and he allowed himself to go through them, we are going to go through them. But there are some things that we do that cause us to have more trials. And one of them is having the wrong friends. And I'm not just talking about young people and teenagers. I'm talking about adults. I know Christians, or have known Christians, I can't think of any right now, that they'll go out with this family that's not saved, and there's not anything wrong with having friends that's not Christians, But they'll go out with them every Friday night, and then that same family will get drunk every Saturday night. We need to surround ourselves with Christians. When you are, if you was witnessing to them every Friday night, but they're not witnessing to them. They're talking about the things of the world, and they're not doing anything wrong. But they're letting them influence the Christian. It doesn't go there. When you consistently and repeatedly hang out with people that are lost, and you're not telling them about Christ, you're not winning them over. They're winning you over. You're not going to lose your salvation. But what if you took that time that you spent with them every Friday night and went over to a widow's house and visited her? Or what if you spent that time on Friday night and went and witnessed to somebody? Or what if you spent that time on Friday night and read your Bible and studied for your Sunday school lesson? You said, well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. You still got a Sunday school lesson. Our defense is that we need to realize the danger. Proverbs 13 and 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's still in the Word of God. We need to be very careful who we hang out with. It don't matter what age we are. We need to be very careful how much they influence us. And if you hang around them long enough, they will influence your life. The Bible tells us to be not unequally yoked. That's in every aspect of our life. I know we can apply it directly to going into business with somebody, but we need to watch how we yoke up our lives with people that are lost. And again, I'm not saying don't have friends and don't communicate and don't talk to lost people. We should. But we shouldn't spend all our time with them either. The Bible says to come out from among them. It doesn't say just don't do what they're doing. It says come out from among them. And then we face discouragement through defeated Christians. When we live our lives as a defeated Christian, we are discouraging someone else. We need to be careful that we do not allow that. When we see somebody that's defeated, don't allow it to influence us. We need to place our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said, follow him as he follows Christ. But if we're not careful, and this happens a lot with preachers, especially pastors, their congregation will follow them as he's following Christ, and then he will allow something to happen in his life where he has to step out of office, and they step out. You have to be careful that you are following as the pastor leads, but we still need to remember that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is the one that we ultimately need to follow and have our faith in. As young Christians, this applies more, but even as older Christians also, when you see somebody doing something wrong and they're supposed to be a Christian, you don't have to do what they do. Nobody's perfect. But we get in the mindset that, you know what? They've been saved a long time and they do it. Must be all right. Is that really your guideline? What somebody else does? It should be what Christ said do. And we follow the Word of God. But if we're not careful, we'll get in that direct mindset. I'm as good as they are, so I'm okay. You won't find that in the Word of God. Paul did say, follow me as I follow Christ. And we should look up to our elders in the Lord, people that have been saved longer, people are living for God. But we ought to know enough about the Word of God that when somebody is not following them, that we don't do that. If you ever see a Christian do something that you don't think they ought to do, the best thing for you to do is don't do it. If you've got a question in your mind whether it's all right or not, you'd be a whole lot better off not to do something that's okay to do than to do something that's not okay to do. If there's a question, just don't do it, because you're not doing it in faith. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do in faith. And that's not by faith. That's just following somebody else or following yourself. We can imitate the good examples, but we need to pray for the bad examples. You see somebody's not doing right, pray for them. So how do we overcome Satan? The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, we know that you cannot come up here on this altar and pray for the rest of your lives until God takes you home. But you can be in the mindset of prayer, and when there comes a question about whether something's right or wrong, what God wants you to do with your life, what job God wants you to have, then you pray about it. You ask God what the answer is. Stay close to Christ. Stay close to the church. Stay close to God's people. Don't get out in the world to start with. Listen, if you're not as members here, you know that our service times, everything, our revival is announced, all that kind of stuff, you know that. Be a part of it. Attend church. Be regular. Read the Word of God. Pray for people. And when you're close to God, guess who you're far away from? Satan. That's not that hard to figure out. Well, how do I overcome? How do I stay away? How do you stay away from Satan? Get close to God. The Bible says to resist the devil. And I think I've given this illustration before, but everybody here didn't hear it. But if somebody is arrested for resisting arrest, Brother Johnny, if a cop comes up to you and says you're under arrest, and you say, well, I don't want to be arrested, he's not going to add resisting arrest to it, okay? If he has to say, you're under arrest, stand up. If he has to say, stand up the second time before you stand up, you're not going to be arrested for resisting arrest. But yet, when a devil comes along and he says, why don't you do this? No, I don't want to. Okay. That's not resisting. Okay? Resisting is continually resisting the devil. If a cop comes to arrest your Brother Johnny and you put that upside his head, you're going to get arrested for resisting arrest. So when Satan comes tempting, you put this between you and him. That's resisting. Put what you know about the Word of God, and make sure you know all about the Word of God that you can know about the Word of God, between you and him. That's resisting the devil. So we resist the devil. We deny what he wants us to do. We stay away from him. And we get busy for the Lord. We get busy for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 and 11, the preacher's been preaching on this. Pastor's been preaching on this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. That is what he's out to do, is to deceive you, to use some kind of trickery. He can't just come up to a grown Christian that's been saved for any length of time and say, okay, you know what? We need to start a drug ring. Ain't gonna happen. He ain't stupid. He's smarter than we are. That's the reason we have to have the Word of God. To resist the devil. To put on the whole armor of God. Pastor has been preaching about God's armory. God gives us the Word of God and shows us how to resist the devil. But we have to take advantage of it. We have to be concerned with what the Word of God says about our lives. If you're here and you hadn't been saved that long, or maybe you're a young person and you know you've been in church all your life, but maybe you've been saved a few years, but you know you're young, and you look at an older Christian. And I remember being this way when I was a young Christian. Well, how do they do that? How do they're always doing for God, and they're always living for God. How do they do that? It's the Word of God. You have to. God left us the Word of God. Now, I know you can fake the walk and you can fake the talk, but that's not what you want to do. You want to know that you are living for God. You might be here tonight, and you've been trying just to figure out there's something in your life, and you've been facing it, and God, the devil's been tempting you with something, or God is asking you to do something, and you've just been putting it off, and you've just been saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know that I can do that. You can do it. You can live for God. You can get closer to God. You can read the Word of God better. You can witness better. But you're going to have to trust God to help you do it. So we stand tonight. Miss Susan comes and plays. You're here tonight. And there's just been something bothering you in your life. Whether it's been temptation, or you feel like God's been asking you to do something, and you've been putting it off. Let me encourage you tonight to trust in the Word of God. Trust in what Jesus says. Jesus said, Peter, Satan desires to have you. He wants to sift you. But Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm going to help you, Peter. You're going to go through the trial. I know you don't believe it, but you're going to go through it. But I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to be all right, Peter. And after you go through it, you're going to be able to help other Christians, Peter. Maybe you're going through something tonight. You're living for God. You're doing what God wants you to do. But there's just things that have come up against you that's really got you discouraged. You know what? You have an intercessor. He's praying for you. Father, help him. He's one of ours, God. He's been living for me. She's been doing right. Help him, Lord. The temptations will come. The persecutions will come. But God is there. Jesus is there to help us every step of the way. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the examples that we have in the Word of God. Lord, as I think is sometimes that we're in kids' sanctuary and we're trying to show the children the examples that you give them, Lord, we go through the Word of God and teach about all the great men of God that's in there. Lord, it's not just for the children. Lord, it's for us to rehearse. It's for us to go over. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, the Word of God that you've allowed us to read, the Word of God that you've allowed us to hear in Sunday school, the Word of God that you've allowed us to hear through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, help us to draw from that and to learn from that and to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight that's going through a persecution or a temptation or a problem. Lord, let them remember that you're praying for them. Jesus, you're right there beside the Father, making intercession. You'll help us and you'll bring us through. In Jesus' name we pray.